Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to the Dr. Deborah and Therapist Kelly Show, only on LA Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome. I'm Dr. Deborah.
Hi, I'm Coach Kelly.
And we are yet again excited to be here on this beautiful, rainy Southern California day.
I'm like, what is this wet-like substance? I've never seen this in this state. It feels so, I feel like I'm in someplace else. I don't know.
It's steady and it's a pretty strong flow. Actually, I have about a 40-minute commute from my house to the studio, and it was just pouring.
It's so bizarre. Yeah. I mean, I'm used to it from the East Coast, but you Californians, I don't know.
I know.
It's kind of funny.
So we should count our lucky stars here, though, because there's other people that have this weather, and they're freezing.
Yes.
And we're still in the 50s and the 60s.
That's very true.
So holidays have just passed. Our Thanksgiving holiday here in this country.
Yes.
So many people in other countries don't celebrate that, but it was a interesting one for me. How about for you?
Exactly the same. That's the word I would totally use. Tell me about yours.
Yeah. What was fascinating to me was that this is the first time in many years that all the family got together.
Mm-hmm.
And there had been some, you know, strains among certain family members for a while. So it was just kind of, we were doing our own thing.
Yeah.
So this time I was included and we had a pretty big gala, which was just amazing. And I always think of myself as a pretty good extrovert, you know, like a lot of socializing.
Sure.
I also had family in from Estonia, which is where my mother was originally from, which I don't know if many people don't know where that is, but around Latvia, Lithuania, a little southeast of Sweden.
Okay.
So small little country. And they were here and they didn't speak my life and my world and the things, my family, my friends, etc. But it was an interesting feeling, and it made me, again, much more compassionate for people who really do struggle with depression and you know, how hard it is to motivate yourself sometimes when you're in that space.
Absolutely. Well, I think the weather also plays a part.
I think so.
Seasonal affect disorder, that's when you don't have enough light and your body doesn't produce endorphins. And I really believe, because I felt the same way. I've been feeling a little blue and I'm like, God, I wonder if it's this weather. It's kind of gray and dark. And I'm sure they've done studies with people in Seattle. I'm sure they're a little more depressed than the rest of the country. Places that are gloomy and dark. It's hard. It's very, very difficult.
I think that there's some truth to that. Even in the Northern European states, there's a higher degree of depression and bipolar disorder.
Makes,
at least the last stats that I looked up.
Yes, exactly. I can completely feel it. There's a difference when it's sunny. You just feel lighter, more energetic. At least I do.
Well, we're so spoiled out here.
It's true. Exactly. One day of rain, we're depressed. It's hilarious.
But it is interesting to discover just how much we are affected by climate, by our environment, by the people we surround ourselves with.
Sure.
And which brings us to our wonderful topic today, the people we surround ourselves with.
Relationships.
But before we do that, we want to give out the phone number. Please, please call us today, 323-203-0815. Again, 323-203-0815. And we did get several emails this last week topic. So we're going to have lots to talk about today.
Sure.
And also, if anybody has any follow-up questions on our last couple of shows, anything's about anxiety, depression, obsessions, hoarding, compulsive spending, eating, shopping, all those things. Yeah. And today, talking about relationships, there's so many ways that we can look at this. We have relationships with ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
We have relationships with other people, partners, intimate partners, family members, children, coworkers, bosses, even our pets.
I just have to pause right now because everybody who knows me knows my relationship with my dog is not normal. I feel like the guy came out of my vagina. I am convinced.
Oh my goodness.
Yes. And I'm not lying. Like, my husband and I joke about it. Like, okay, I gave birth to this guy. Like, there's no other explanation. I just have such a strong bond with him. So I'm glad you put that in there, because I do think there's something special about having a relationship with the pet, that unconditional love and understanding. And yeah, I can completely speak to that.
And that's so key. I know I am a total pet lover. I'm tended to flock more to kitty cats.
Yes.
That was my predilection toward little furry beasts like that. And I have two very, very...
Your gorgeous cats.
Well, some would beg to differ in terms of their size. Yesterday I said I have two mini whales or two large penguins. And then also taking care of my daughter's dog. She has Labrador retriever. Her name is Missy, who is just adorable, but she's a digger. Dig.
And in the house?
No, she's an outdoor dog. Okay. She's always been, and she's going to be 10 years old. So when you go outside, she thinks she's a kangaroo. So she starts actually jumping on her hind legs. It takes forever to wear her out. You have run her and walk her. I can't believe that she's going to be 10 years old.
Wow.
It's amazing. But she's such a love. But when she gets a little bored, dig. We had to put up fences and fill up holes.
Oh,
and she got another one. Put some more blocks up there. Missy.
It's like a gopher. Oh, yes. My God.
She is hysterical. Yes, I know. And your dog is beautiful. Oh, is she a whippet?
Yes. It's a whippet. So it's like a smaller greyhound for those who don't know what a whippet is. And he's just the love of my life. Oh, I love that guy. But yeah, I mean, I think there is different degrees of relationships with different people. And you're in our lives, including animals.
Absolutely. What's been your favorite pet in your life?
Oh, this guy,
this
for one, sure.
This is it.
I did have a hamster. My first pet was a hamster named Cinnamon.
Oh.
And I loved that little hamster, too. My mom's a little freaked out with the rodent aspect, but I really, I don't know. It was really sweet. It was a sweet, sweet pet. So, yeah, I'm definitely an animal lover for sure, I think. How about you? Is it these cats?
You know what? Every one of my animals has been very special to me. I mean, I had a long, long go with my dad to let me have a cat when I was younger because he, having been a Holocaust survivor, apparently animals during the war were pretty out of control.
Oh.
And, nice, sweet creatures became very aggressive. And so he was actually terrified of cats. But cats were my favorite little critters. So we started out with a cat named Morris, who actually looked like the one on TV. When I took him to the vet and we named him Morris.
Oh.
So people say, is that the cat that's on TV? And he was a total lap cat. He was 22 pounds and amazing. And then I ended up with bunnies. Now, the coolest thing on the planet was the cat would protect the rabbits because the rabbits would dig holes and go into the front yard and the cat would stalk the front yard to make sure that the rabbits were safe. Cute.
That is so sweet.
Very cute. And then we had a dog named Peggy who was a little Pekingese, and the cat would sit on top of the chair and bat the dog. His nose. Very, very cute.
Aww.
And I had one cat named, I had Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. They were brothers.
Cute.
And Dr. Jekyll actually gave me manicures. So he would come up
Stop.
And he would take one finger at a time and he would clean my nails and bite around the little cuticles.
This is amazing.
It was amazing.
Aren't animals amazing?
They are
Absolutely.
Amazing. So call us about your pets or call us about any of your relationships. 323-203-0815. I thought it would be fun to just talk about relationships in terms of where do we get our models of relationships? How does the earliest seeds of our lives is with our parents and our
Absolutely.
Family of origin.
Sure.
And how our relationships are with our caregivers has a lot to do with how we perceive the trustingness in a relationship. Are they safe? Are they not safe? Are we too vulnerable?
Sure. Oh, absolutely. I think especially the mom, for sure, I think is the model, I think, for how you feel safe and close. I know they've done studies with those monkeys. They've done studies with monkeys where they had a wire, quote-unquote, mom in the room, and then they had another, like a real mom monkey. And the wire monkey, you know, it kind of looked like a monkey, but of course it was wire. And the monkeys who used that wire mom were just so developmentally traumatized. So I think it's such, for me, I always think about that, how if we don't have that warm, loving support and connection, we really, it's an uphill battle from there, I think.
I think they actually added to that study where they gave the wire monkey the food, the bottle, and the cuddly, fuzzy
real
monkey.
Mother.
Yeah, the real mom didn't have the food, and the babies picked the real mom and forewent the food
to
have those cuddles.
The connection.
Yeah, pretty powerful stuff. How much nurturing is a part of our need basis, right?
Absolutely.
Even sometimes way more than any of the basic biological functions.
Well, we need touch,
I think,
to grow and to feel and to get those endorphins mm-hmm. and oxytocin and all of those chemicals to make us, you know, feel whole and healthy and strong. So I think you make some really good points about, you know, that being sort of the primary, most important connection.
So that is really interesting then to talk about people who grow up in very abusive families.
Yes.
Where they don't get to have any of that, no consistency. Sometimes mm-hmm. it's even worse in a mixed family where there's kindness one day and abuse the next.
Oh.
So it really confuses children because
sure.
they oftentimes then equate pain with pleasure.
Oh.
And then later on in relationships, there's mm-hmm. a tendency toward becoming magnets toward other people who instill pain
right.
in us instead of mm-hmm. kindness and consideration on an ongoing basis.
So when people are drawn to what they're used to, is it just because that's all they know and that feels familiar and quote unquote safe to them?
I think so. Familiarity is a very common theme for the kinds of relationships we end up picking because
mm-hmm.
we have what's called an equilibrium. So we're used to a certain level of connection.
Right.
And that's what we know. So
yes.
that's what we go for. Even though I believe as humans, we all want something better, different, and more than what we had. And
mm-hmm.
we strive for that. Even if we had a lousy start, we will
yeah.
want that. But we don't know how to get it. Oftentimes, we don't even know what to look for.
Oh, I see. Right. So I think we should probably talk about maybe what constitutes a healthy relationship, because I think a lot of people maybe don't even know what that is.
I don't know. I've never had one. Have you?
We have a very healthy relationship, I think.
Do you think so?
Yes.
Coach Kelly, I don't know. Let's have an argument. Yeah, actually, I do think that healthy relationships are what we all would like to have, but it's very hard to get there.
Well, I mean, I think there's degrees of it too, right? I mean, I think maybe not striving for like 100% healthy, but even 85 is so much better than a damaging relationship or, you know, so I'm not necessarily maybe striving for that perfect, you know, no fighting, amazing relationship, but even just, you know, much better than, you know, the damaging ones. That's how I would say.
And, you know, differences and conflict are inevitable in any relationship. In
yes.
fact, relationships that never have conflict, I think they tend to be relatively superficial.
Mm-hmm.
So even with friendships, you know, you can have a best friend, but bound over the years and time to have some differences of opinion, mm-hmm. differences in style. Now, that doesn't have to be the problem, though. That's the norm. It's
right.
okay to have that. It's how do we cope with those differences? Do we get judgmental? Do we get
mm-hmm.
critical? Do we get nasty? Do we get cranky? If we do those things, then we're not manifesting a healthy relationship. If we can talk it out.
Yes, exactly. Then,
what we're,
yeah.
And then you get a good chance of having a better, healthier relationship.
Do you believe that honesty is the best policy in all relationships?
I used to think that 100%.
Yeah.
And I've softened on some of my views about
yeah.
that. I do think that general honesty is the best policy,
okay.
but there are some things that I think are best kept private.
Okay.
That's different than secrecy. Privacy and secrecy I see is very different.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure if I can fully articulate the actual differences, but
mm-hmm.
do you know what I mean?
I know what you're saying. So instead of like harboring a secret, you mean just keeping things to yourselves where it may not be necessary to tell the truth. Is that what you're saying?
Well, I think for the most part, if I'm asked a question
mm-hmm.
by somebody, then I'm going to assume the person wants the truth.
Yeah.
So I will tell the truth on
yep.
that. But there might be some things I wouldn't necessarily disclose, at least not early on in a relationship, because it might just not be relevant anymore. Like, let's
sure.
say I had an experience in my teenage years that I'm
mm-hmm.
maybe not so proud of. I have many of those, but
we all do.
Get into too many of those. And that I've grown in some way
uh-huh.
that would never draw me to those experiences again, I may not just outright tell somebody all about that because
sure.
Might not feel safe to do that right away. But over
mm-hmm.
time, the
mm-hmm.
more intimate you want to be with somebody, then I think the more you express full disclosure of who you are,
yes.
the better it is for everybody. How
no,
about you?
That makes sense. No, I mean, I think as a general rule, I do believe honesty is the best policy. But I know what you're saying, and I agree. I mean, I don't think you need to, you know, bare your soul about everything. But I think when asked a question, I do believe you should be honest because I think the other person is wanting an honest answer. I mean, maybe sometimes they really don't, but if they're asking it, in my opinion, you give an honest response.
That's an interesting question to pose is, do people always want the truth when they ask the question?
It's it's very interesting because for me, when I ask a question, I always want the truth, but not everybody's like that. And I have learned that, or people have asked me something and I've given an honest answer and they're kind of looking at me like,
TMI.
Yeah. Like, and I'm like, you asked me the question. I mean, I'm not going to appease you and just, you know, like I am the type of friend that you want to shop with. Cause I will tell you, doesn't look so good. I mean, I wouldn't be mean about it. Like, you know, your ass looks like Kim Kardashian, but I will, you know, I will be honest with you and say, you probably should choose something else.
There you go. Yeah. I'm trying to think of times in my life when I haven't been fully honest that has come back to bite me in the butt, so to speak. And I think that's generally the case.
Yeah.
I mean, I think it's definitely better to say the truth.
Of course.
To be genuine and authentic.
I agree.
Yeah.
So let's read one of our emails that we got here.
Oh, perfect.
Okay. Hi, Dr. Deborah and Coach Kelly. Your type of show is much needed. Thank you for your compassionate styles. Well, thank you. My husband and I have been married for over 12 years. I love him dearly. He's my best friend in so many ways. But we have such different ways of looking at the world, and sometimes this causes us great conflict. I'm a very open-minded person, always looking at the gray areas in a situation, whereas he is more black and white. At times, our differences are a blessing because he can quickly make decisions about things, while I will make a case for both sides almost to the point of indecision. But other times, I get so frustrated because I want to talk through things with him and he cuts me off and tells me I'm overanalyzing things. How do I get him to open up more in his thinking and see more than one point of view? Signed, hoping for flexibility. It's a great question.
Yeah, I think it's very common in many relationships. We often attract our opposites, but finding a way to make peace with those differences and not wait for that inevitable, quote unquote, change in the other person.
Yes.
But how do we change in ourselves in order to accommodate that different style in someone? So I would say to this woman that it would be probably in her best interest to work on, instead of thinking of how to change his point of view or working on that, to work more on, I mean, maybe encouraging him to participate in things differently with her, not as a criticism of who he is, but actually praise him and reinforce him for how proud you are of him to be able to make these decisions and be able to kind of save the day sometimes, I'm sure, if she's always the one indecisive.
Yeah, I know what you're saying. Yeah, I mean, I totally agree with you. I think this is super, super common, but I think you bring up a great point that I think a lot of us are still in that fantasy of, well, we can change our partner. If only our partner would do this and be like this. And the truth is, we can only change ourselves. So, I mean, I think you make some valid points. And I'm trying to think what else she could do that.
Let me just jump in here because it came to my mind. There's something called polarizing in relationships. And oftentimes when people have a difference between the two of them, over time that difference becomes greater because one person is picking up the other side.
Oh.
So if she could actually work on becoming more decisive in some ways, he may actually grow into being more willing to be flexible, but he may be feeling on some level that he has to protect that aspect of the relationship because she may fall short.
That's so interesting. Yeah. So maybe working on her part of, you know, being more decisive will make him less decisive, I guess, or just not as rigid.
Yeah. That makes sense. I certainly know that for myself. And I'm around people who are pretty frivolous and spontaneous and really throw caution to the wind and don't think about consequences or responsibility. I tend to become much more rigid and much more responsible and naming the reality of things and, oh, but be careful of that, be careful of that. And I don't like that in myself.
Yes.
But I always think if I'm in a relationship with somebody who's more like that, I say, hey, do you think you could take on that role for a change?
Sure.
So I get to be the one who has the more greater freedom to just be.
I totally agree. Yeah. I mean, I think it's interesting in relationships where it's like you have the spender and the saver a lot of times with finances.
Which one are you?
That's a great question. I'm probably in the middle. I know that's probably not what you want to hear and it's no fun, but I mean, that's the truth. I wouldn't say I'm a lavish spender, but I wouldn't say I'm like this. I mean, I definitely save a little bit, but I have my indulgences, you know, I mean, everybody, should, I believe. So I'm kind of in the middle, and I think it works in my relationship. I mean, my husband's not really a spender, so I guess it works. But yeah, I mean, I think it works. I think it would be hard, though, if I, in my opinion, if I were the saver and my spouse were the spender, I think that would be very difficult because you feel like you're being the responsible one and, oh my God, why is my partner, you know, being the irresponsible one and not really looking at the big picture? I think that'd be tough. What about you?
I am a
saver. You're a saver.
Oh,
you're a saver.
Yeah. Yes. I kick myself sometimes. I say, really? The extra $10 is not going to hurt me. Spend it. Spend it. There's this little voice in my head that says, spend it. Spend it. Spend it.
The devil.
Says, no way.
Yeah.
So I'm getting better at it. I have actually on occasion bought something retail and not on sale. That's sort of my mark of growth.
Yeah.
Is, oh, I'm going to buy that just because I like it. And it doesn't have to be on sale. Because you know what? It might not be there next month.
It's true. And then you'd be kicking yourself.
Yep.
Yep. I think
so. I've grown up.
My dad was always like the coupon guy. Like, not only was it on sale, it was a sale, and he had to use the coupon. So I once wrote an article about this because I'm not exaggerating. We grew up, and I probably had cornflakes. I think it was cornflakes for like 2 years straight
because there was a sale.
There was a sale, and you get a coupon. So we had stacks in the garage of cornflakes, and AIM toothpaste was the other one. So I don't know. I had once had 13 cavities. Maybe it was the specific toothpaste I was using. I don't know.
13.
But,
good
yeah,
job.
I it was like I was brushing my teeth with like a Tootsie Pop. I mean, literally, I looked at the dentist. I was like, "You've got to be kidding!" I went to get a second opinion. The other doctor said 14, so I went back to the guy who said 13.
Whatever happened to the stress? The one that didn't get
filled. I don't know. I wasn't worried. I was like, oh, I'll just get the 13 and worry about the, but yeah. Nuts.
Did you have them filled all at once?
Yes.
One
I did
sitting?
It all at once. I was like, get it over with. Oh. It was horrible.
Did you cry?
No, I didn't cry, but I felt like a chipmunk. I was just
oh my
like,
goodness.
Oh, it was horrible.
Did your mama hold your hand?
I was here, actually. It was like 22.
You were an adult?
I didn't go to a dentist for like years. This is like, people are going to think I look like a
no,
like
she
a
has
meth addict.
Gorgeous teeth.
No.
Absolutely gorgeous teeth.
No, but I don't know. I forgot about it. I went to college. I didn't think about it. I came out here and then I was like, oh yeah, I probably should check in with the dentist. It's been a couple of years. And then that happened. Sorry, got off topic.
No, but, it was great.
It is really funny.
I like the imagery.
Yeah,
Kelly
exactly.
With her mouth open, with 13 cavities.
Oh, horrible.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah, I'd rather go to the doctor than dentist. I'm not a big dentist fan, maybe because of my problems, but yeah, much rather go to the doctor. Well, speaking of email, do you want to read our second email?
For sure. Let's see. Hi, Doc and Coach. My dad is dying of cancer. Oh, that's sad. Mm-hmm. And he's kind of losing some of his mental capacities. Don't want to go into too much detail, but he's saying things that just don't make any sense. Sometimes he's totally with it, and other times it's as if he's gone to another zone. I find myself constantly wanting to correct him when he says stuff that doesn't fit reality, but I'm thinking that's not a good idea. Funny thing is, he constantly corrected me as a young boy, and I want to show him what it feels like. I'm kind of ticked off at him most of the time. How do I stop being so irritated?
Ooh. This is very complicated and very tough. My first piece of advice, I think, is, I mean, we were not going to even begin to cut this surface. So I would suggest therapy. I mean, this is a lot to deal with. So I would absolutely suggest therapy to kind of to talk about, you know, what happened to this man as a young boy, because I think it's obviously still staying with him and he still has a lot of anger and frustration around that. But I think, you know, aside from that, I mean, I think trying to separate his dad as the person he is now versus the dad he was back then may help, almost looking at him as two different people. Because obviously his dad is not in his right mind. And so he is a different person, I think, in so many ways. And so I think maybe looking at him in a different light may help him, you know, remind him that he is who he is now. And, you know, this is the present and he's got to deal with the present and, you know, to treat him the best he can at this point. What do you think?
Absolutely. And I think probably what's key for him is to try to get out of victim mentality, so to speak, because he's actually, sadly, he's holding on to something from childhood that cannot be changed, cannot be fixed, cannot be taken back, cannot be redone. Mm-hmm. It is what it is. And when we can make peace with what we experienced as children,
right,
and then let that go. And I know that's very, very hard to do.
Yeah.
Easy easy three words to say, let right. it go, but actually doing it is much harder. But being able to let go of those resentments, because resentment is like swallowing poison and waiting for the other guy to die. Mm-hmm. You know, it just shoots you in the foot. So
right.
he's probably irritated, I think, because he's hoping for his dad maybe to have some insight or recognition in terms of how he mm-hmm. felt as a young boy.
He wants to feel validated.
Mm-hmm, wants that compassion. But I think he's going to have to learn how to do that for himself and not hold out for needing it from his dad and be able to mm-hmm. give the compassion and love to his dad in the state of being that he is yeah. at this time.
Yeah.
Because otherwise that begets regret, and regret
sure.
begets more regret, et cetera.
And some sadness, I'm sure.
Absolutely. But yeah. that is really, really tough. And I think you're spot on, especially since he is saying that he's losing some of his mental capacities. We don't know how old he is, but if he's dying of cancer and he put those two in the same sentence, my mm-hmm. guess is that the cancer is also probably affecting
sure.
his mental condition. And probably just, you know, in a lot of pain and, you know,
yep.
end of life issues, grieving.
So hard.
So hard for the dying and for those who love them.
I think it's really hard when you have a parent that you have some trauma in some way and then they're aging and you've become the caretaker. It's a very difficult place to be in, because I think you do have that anger from how you were treated, but then, you know, you want to be there for your parents now. I'm sure it brings up all sorts of feelings and triggers that are very difficult to process.
Absolutely. And it seems like when we're younger, we think of relationships differently than as we ourselves get mm-hmm. older and have some health issues or some changes in our own lives that go on.
Right.
And so we can become more empathetic, I think, and compassionate.
Yes.
So I don't know how old this writer is,
mm-hmm.
but, you know, I think being able to put this in perspective as what it would be like to be an aging or a dying person.
Sure.
And, you know,
and what you would want.
Yeah, and who knows? Maybe his dad will get there. Maybe he'll have a glimmer of insight and be
exactly.
able to. You know, it's certainly not a bad thing to for this guy to actually go to his dad and have a little bit of a heart to heart with him, but not mm-hmm. in an angry and critical way.
Exactly.
Not wanting to do back to him what was done to him.
Exactly. Just maybe wanting to be heard and maybe just saying it.
Yeah.
You know, even if his dad just kind of nods, I think mm-hmm. it would be very acknowledging.
There may also be somebody else in his family who he could reach out to and get a different perspective on maybe what his dad was like when he was raising his son.
Uh-huh.
You know, because sometimes people have insights into our parents, like their friends.
Oh, that's interesting.
That can actually provide some, oh, you know, your father was like that because of.
Uh-huh.
But then you can put it in a context and then not personalize it as much.
That makes so much sense. So seeing it from his father's eyes, different mm-hmm. things. Maybe he was struggling financially and frustrated, or who knows? There could be all sorts of issues.
Absolutely.
It's very true. We can kind of get in our own head about it, and it's very hard to see from the other person's perspective.
It's that righteous hurt position.
Yes. Right?
You hurt me, so now I'm entitled to all of my anger, resentment, mm-hmm. and upset. And in reality, what does that really serve you? What does it get you?
Exactly. Nothing.
Nothing.
Yep. Oh, we
got a call. Great.
Okay.
Hi, you're on live with Dr. Deborah and Coach Kelly.
Hello?
Hello?
I think they're just playing music for us.
Hello?
All right, we
did
lost
you want
all.
To sing to us? We're open.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, okay. Well, call back, please. It's area code 323-203-0815. Again, 323-203-0815.
Okay, well, maybe we'll read an email while we wait.
Yeah, although I want to talk a little bit about the golden rule versus the platinum rule. This
Great.
Is one of my favorite things that I heard a while back that
okay.
I just find it to be so fascinating. Most of us are taught to do the golden rule. The golden rule is do unto others the way you would have them do unto you.
Okay.
Well, that works okay if you're the same person. But
yeah.
if you're not the same person, then you really want to do unto somebody the way they're asking you to do unto them,
uh-huh.
minus abuse or neglect
sure.
or something terrible. But let's say, you know, if I like my back rubbed a certain way
mm-hmm.
and you like yours rubbed a certain way, you giving it to me the way you like it
is not going to feel good to you.
So if we really in our intimate relationships and our friendships, if we really want to be giving something special and mm-hmm. we want that to be received, learning how to apply the platinum rule, which is to give you what it is that you're asking for, as long as yes. it's not offensive,
sure,
is a better way to do it. Because I work with so many couples, and it's hard for people to understand that. They just think, well, I would like it that way.
Exactly.
So why
right.
don't you?
Yep.
And then they get their feelings hurt because that gift of love does not get received in the way yes. that it was intended.
Well, there's a great book out, and I'm drawing a blank.
The Five on the Languages
exactly.
of Love.
Exactly.
Yes.
So this is, and this is, my husband and I were talking about this because he does acts of service, which is like fixing, you know, my car. He's like, oh, I got your oil changed today. Or, and in his mind, that is love. And it makes total sense to him. He's doing nice things. He's going out of his way. And to me, I appreciate it's nice, but like, I don't know. I'm more of like either a romantic gesture or words of affection, you know, different things. So it's really hard. And so I totally agree with you. It's discovering, first of all, what you need to realize yourself, what you like, and then you can convey it to your partner or friend or mother or whoever. But I totally agree. There are those differences in it. It just makes so much sense. Like, oh, I like it. Yeah, that the person should like it. But that's not always the case.
And let's say you have two maybe completely different personality styles, people who are, you know, very much in love, but mm-hmm. one's an introvert and one's an extrovert. Well,
yes.
introverts refuel inward.
Yes.
Extroverts refuel outward.
Yep.
So if an introvert has been at business meetings all day, comes home, mm-hmm. then the gift you give to the introvert is to give them some space. I just fumbled up like, blah, blah,
some
blah,
space.
Blah. How's that? blah, blah, blah. Give mm-hmm. them some space. Whereas if somebody works in isolation all day, who's an extrovert, mm-hmm. comes home, probably wants to be enveloped in
Absolutely.
The arms of her partner
uh-huh.
and to be loved in that way and to be talked
yes.
to, how was your day, et cetera. So giving him or her space would actually be not so kind-hearted.
It's very difficult. So I think you got to, in that case, I think you got to compromise, right? So in my opinion, if someone were asking me that question, I would say the person, the introvert who's been in business meetings, who needs a little bit of space, I would say, all right, we put on the timer, 10 minutes, you do what you want, you watch TV, and then when 10 minutes is up, then the extrovert then gets to, you know, talk with the introvert and ask questions and feel loved, and that way you compromise. You both feel like you're getting your needs met.
And especially if you talk about it, because then you have an open agreement as a behavioral contract, so to speak, so
yes.
that each partner understands what is expected of the other one. So
uh-huh.
then you get a lot fewer hurt feelings as a result
very
of that.
True.
As opposed to, well, people will often say, well, you should know me by now.
Oh, very tough. Yes.
And when do we cross the line of when we should know something
yes.
about our partner? That's always a tricky one because, you know, we all learn that it's not healthy to be a mind reader in a relationship because half the time you're going to read wrong.
It's so true. I mean, I think that you should always tell the person what you need. I mean, and don't assume that the person knows. That's what I've learned in the relationship, that there's no shame in saying what you want. I think a lot of times, especially women, it's like, well, I don't want to have to then tell him to do something romantic because then it's not romantic, you know? But I feel like the guy or partner, whoever, obviously doesn't know that you need something romantic. So he or she needs that hint. You need to convey it. If that's what you want, I mean, I think we need to be bold in relationships. I think we need to stand up for what we need and not expect our partner to do or expect our partner to know what we want and what we're thinking.
I agree, and then I disagree.
Okay.
got both.
I'd like to hear it.
It depends on my point of view in the moment.
Depends on who your partner is, yeah.
That's right. No, because I'm wondering, you know, so let's say you've been with somebody for 15 years,
yeah.
right? And you do like a certain kind of pizza. Like,
okay.
Like you never, ever eat
sure.
pepperoni.
Mm-hmm.
Like you always eat cheese with fresh basil.
Right.
Right?
Okay.
So would it be okay after all those years
yeah.
that when your husband or your girlfriend or your lover is going out to get the pizza, that
mm-hmm.
he or she brings you
pepperoni?
Really?
Yes.
Don't like pepperoni. Like, I don't know. I'd be a little bit offended by that because at what point do you expect your partner to know certain things
about
you? Now, obviously, if you're a very precarious, mercurial person who on a whim can change your mind, then
mm-hmm.
I would have to take responsibility if that's who I
am.
Of course. To not expect somebody to be able to...
Right.
To read me because I'm ever changing.
Right.
But if I tend to be a creature of habit to some degree around certain things,
mm-hmm.
I think it's nice when a partner remembers that. What do you think?
I agree, but I also wonder if there a couple of people who are a little bit absent-minded when it comes to that. Like, I'm thinking of my parents, who I love dearly. My mom is very picky. I could tell you instantly what she would order off a menu, whether she likes dark or milk chocolate. Like, I just know, I guess I'm just more detailed. My dad, I feel like it's not that he doesn't care. He just doesn't think about that type of stuff. So if I were to say, hey, you know, what would mom order? I'd be like, I think she'd probably like this. But I don't think he'd get it on the dot like I would. And so I just wonder if just people aren't as detailed with that kind of stuff. And I don't know if it necessarily equates to him not caring about my mom's needs. It's just he's a little bit more absent-minded in that way.
So does it piss off your mom, or has she gotten used to it?
I think she's gotten used to it. It's kind of like, you know, oh, you should know that kind of thing. But I think we all kind of know he's a little bit, you know, maybe he's a little bit out there with that. I don't know.
But there you go. That brings us right back to that big A word, acceptance, right?
Yes.
When we're going to have a healthy relationship with someone, so much of that has to do with accepting who that person is instead of wanting them to be different and being miserable within your own self, because mm-hmm. the likelihood of people changing to that degree is not that high.
It's very true. Acceptance is huge. And I think I've really, really learned a lot about acceptance these last couple of years. Acceptance in who I am, and then acceptance about everybody else, and that they're not going to change. And the only thing that can change is my attitude about that person.
Mm-hmm. Right on.
Yeah. All right, I'll get off the soapbox.
I'm going
now.
With that.
Yeah, exactly.
I'll go with that box.
Well, give us a call at 323-203-0815 with all your relationship and or other questions.
Great one here. Should we read this one?
Sure.
Getting married. All right. Dear Dr. Deborah and Coach Kelly, I'm getting married in less than 3 months, and 2 months ago, I found out my fiance had an affair.
Ooh.
Ouch. It was a one-night stand at a friend's bachelor party, but I'm terrified now to make the lifelong commitment with this man. Was it just an innocent mistake and I should let it go, or is this red flag I could be ignoring? He swears he loves me and it was all physical. Please be honest and tell me what you think.
Okay, we're going to pause because we got a call.
Oh, okay. We'll get back to that email. Hello.
Hi, you're on live with Dr. Deborah and Coach Kelly.
Hi, this is Tiffany, and I have a quick question. I was listening to you guys talking about, you know, when do you say something to someone? How do they know what you need?
Okay.
And my question is, you know, in a new relationship, when is it right, or is it okay, or do you guys have any advice on, you know, this gentleman is, I think, being too much of a gentleman, or a little bit too respectful, if that's ever possible for a girl to say, that he's almost boring.
Oh. Okay. Sorry. Go on.
Yeah. And so I just want to know, you know, what your take is on it. Do I say, hey, you know, be a little bit more aggressive, but I don't want him to go too far.
Are you talking about in the bedroom, or are you talking about, like, conversation-wise? That's what I want to know.
I'm talking about, you know, initial intimacy, like maybe kissing or holding hands or showing that there is some physical interest. Not necessarily having sex, but mm-hmm. what leads up to that.
Oh, sure.
So more affection, more cuddles.
More affection. Uh-huh. Yeah, more affection and just being the initiator in the kissing. He's scared. I think he's scared that I might slap him or push him away, but I'm getting bored with him not trying.
What signs are you giving off to him? Do you feel like he's confused, or he feels like you are not interested?
That's a really good question. I think that, I don't know what signs I'm giving off to him. Maybe he thinks that I would be mad. I don't know why. I'm smiling and, mm-hmm. you know, I say yes to his offers to go out and I sit next to him. So I'm not sure.
Well, I'm of the mindset to simply say, hey, I just want you to know that I'm an affectionate person, and I would welcome that if you're so inclined.
Oh, I love that. I like that boldness.
That's what I would do.
Do you feel comfortable with that?
That's very bold.
Yeah.
Too bold. Too bold for you? Your personality style.
Might be not. Okay. So, let me ask you this. Is he a conservative person overall, and this kind of falls in line with his behaviors? Like, he's kind of a little bit more, you know, risk adverse, that type of personality?
I really just think he's trying to be a gentleman, and it's coming off as it's sort of making me lose my interest. And the reason why I say that is because when we're on the phone, he will make comments about, you know, I don't know, help me. I said, hey, I'm going to take a shower. I'll get back to you later. And he said to me, oh, do you need help with that? I mean, that's not very conservative. But when we're in person, he doesn't behave that way. When we're in person, he waits for me to go in for the kiss. And I'm just not the kind of girl who likes that. I prefer that the guy be the initiator. And this chat brings me back to your conversation earlier of, you know, what do you say and what do you not say? What should be unspoken? And what do you just tell your partner, hey, I need this? You know, we're in a new situation, so I don't know if that's maybe not being too ladylike.
Well, I think if you wait too long and don't say anything, and then you end up losing interest, and there might have been a capacity there for more of what you wanted, then you might regret having not
said something.
So I think finding a way with your own voice that feels comfortable to at least give a hint, bring it up, maybe share your ideas about how much you like, you know, affection, and, you know, saying, you know, I like this too. I don't know what you're comfortable with, but I think I would recommend saying something.
And I also agree. And I think even it doesn't even have to be about, in my opinion, about like the affection, but just maybe stating that you're interested in him. I like you. I like being with you. You're putting it out there. So then, you know, maybe he'll have more confidence, be like, okay, she digs me, you know, then he can kind of go in. Like maybe he's getting sort of mixed signals, or he's feeling a little bit unsure, but maybe if you make it clear that you are interested, I wonder if he'll then make the next move.
Okay, very good point. All right, I'll put on my muscles and try it.
Try it
next time.
I've seen too many times where people didn't speak up about something, and then, you know, maybe it had all the possibilities of
potential,
a great quality relationship if you had just talked it out, right?
Yep. Well, thank you so much for calling, Tiffany.
Thank you so much. Thanks for your advice.
Sure. All right, good luck. Keep us posted.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
I will.
Yes.
Okay.
Wonderful. Thank you so much. Yes, remember, it is you all, the listener, who makes our show. So please call us anytime at 323-203-0815. So let's quickly get back to that email where, okay, so getting married in less than 2 months. Two months ago, found fiancé had an affair. It was a one-night stand at a friend's bachelor party, now terrified to make a lifelong commitment with this man. Was it just an innocent mistake? Should I let it go? Or is this the red flag I could be ignoring? He swears he loves me, and it was all physical. What do you think?
Oh, I have a very strong opinion about this one.
Do it.
Oh, this is, I would absolutely, I mean, this is just me, my opinion, but I would not trust a man who had an affair, we're getting married in 3 months, and he's, I mean, to me, when she even said, is this the red flag I could be ignoring? Yes, this is the red flag. I mean, Oprah always says, if somebody shows you who they are, believe them the first time. Like, I just think that it's just not worth it to get involved in a relationship with somebody who's already showing you signs of distrust. I mean, I understand it's a bachelor's party. I understand it's, you know, things kind of can happen in that way. But I don't know. I would be very hesitant and scared to get married to somebody who had an affair. That's my opinion. So I would say,
bye-bye. It.
That's it. But what do you say? You're probably a little more lenient. I don't know.
I have several thoughts about it. One, when he swears he loves me and it was all physical, well, that irks me right there. So he was willing to throw away his relationship for a physical moment.
That's a good
moment.
Point.
Yes. I mean, that's I would wonder then, mostly the red flag is about his level of maturity. The other piece is that when she says that she found out 2 months ago, well, 2 months ago, how did she find out?
Oh,
did she find out?
Yes, through him? Right, exactly. We don't
because
know.
I would actually respect this guy a lot more if he had
told
come to her and said, I don't know what came over me. I need to figure this out. If you want to pause and not move forward right now, I can't believe that I did this.
Yeah.
And I want you to know because you deserve informed consent.
Sure.
I think that would be a
very different,
much better sign to me about walking forward to understanding, you know. Was he scared? Does he have a history of being unfaithful in other relationships?
Yeah.
Was this something, you know, alcohol-induced, drug-induced, coaxed by friends? What's he learning then about, you know, peer pressure?
Yeah.
Would he be able to stand up to that in the future? So I'd say, I don't know that I would recommend right off the bat just ending it. I'd probably say definitely go seek some professional help.
Counseling.
And at least give it a couple of sessions to find out. Dig a little bit deeper.
Right.
But you know what? If it feels bad and there's other signs like that in his behavior, then you know what? You have your whole life ahead of you. And, you don't have to get married. It's a lot easier to quit before you start.
But I feel, and my personal opinion is that I feel like you have all these hurdles once you're married. And a lot of times you have kids and you have, you know, difficult obstacles along the way. And so I feel like this is the easy part. And if there's already issues, in my opinion, like I worry a little bit about that. I don't know. I just don't see it lasting too long. But maybe I'm a little bit of a pessimist, or I don't know.
I do know, though, I mean, having worked, again, with so many couples, people sometimes have different belief systems about pre-marriage and marriage.
That's a good point.
It's almost like, for some people, it's like marriage then is the place where you have the true commitment. And people themselves sometimes a little bit more slack. I've seen it go that way, too, but I've also seen exactly what you said, which is, look, if he's doing this before you're getting married.
Exactly. Well, what's going to happen when you get married? Yeah.
How much did he value the engagement, or how much did he value this part? I mean, usually you're supposed to sow those oats before you get
engaged.
Actually, before you get into a relationship.
Yes.
Right? I mean,
exactly.
Relationship, to me, is as strong and profound as marriage. Mm-hmm. It's the commitment to a relationship with someone.
Right. I 100% agree.
So, yeah, that's a tough one, but definitely give that some really
deep thought.
Deep thought, for sure. Absolutely. You know, we're actually
run
out
of
time in a couple of minutes.
It went
quick. I want to make sure to say a couple things about Kelly and some of the things that she has going on in her life. She has a book on Amazon called Professor Kelly's Guide to Finding a Husband, and they just go on to amazon.com.
Exactly, and put that in the search. And it's a lot of what we talked about today: healthy relationships, how to find a good guy, how to not ignore those red flags. You know, all those. I was having so many of my single girlfriends coming to me, and I just felt like I can't take it anymore. Like, here's sort of, you know, the rule book, and this is what you should do. So I wrote the book, so check it out on Amazon. And I know you have tons of books.
Well, I was just gonna say, and if the guide to finding a husband doesn't work out for you, just dump that chump
from me. I love that. Yes. Check out Dr. Deborah's website. It's www.drdeborahonline.com. A new website is coming soon.
Yes, I was hoping that it would be ready already this week, but it's probably another week or two in the making.
Good.
But it's going to be pretty awesome. Yeah, and also I am going to be at a book fair this Saturday. So for anybody local in the Simi Valley area, I'll be doing a book signing and
that's awesome.
Selling
at Cafe Connections?
Cafe Connections.
So it looks like,
yep, in Simi Valley on Saturday, December 6th from 11 to 3. So I'd love it if anybody wants to stop, come by, say that you heard us on the show. Would be awesome.
That'd be awesome. That'd be great. And keep those emails coming to us. And one more time, you have 2 minutes left if you want to give us a call. 323-203-0815.
And let's just really end with helping people understand that, you know, relationships are a struggle.
Yes.
They do require a lot of commitment. They require a constant level of self-discovery and mm-hmm. self-awareness. I mean, we can only have the quality of a relationship as much as we are able to understand who we are. Because if we are blind to who we are, then we expect things, we want things, we say things, we give double messages that people don't really, we're not giving the clear signals mm-hmm. about what we're looking for and what
we
expect.
That makes complete sense. They say relationships are the best mirror.
Absolutely.
You know, you really discover a lot about yourself, a lot, some good, some bad. I mean, it's tough.
The old advice was, when people would break up in a relationship, was to go off and mend their wounds by themselves for a long time. Like, if you had a long relationship, spend a year or two by yourself. And I don't recommend that at all. I say get right back in the saddle. Not right away where you're going to have a rebound relationship, but we do our best growth in relationships, not outside of relationships.
That's really interesting.
So, yes, do the healing, whatever you need to do to lick those wounds, and be okay with yourself so that you go back into another relationship as a whole person, as opposed to HOLE.
Yeah.
But Right. Still, I mean, that's how we grew. I have too many people that they have a breakup and then they don't go date again for 5 years. And then they start right back where they were 5 years
ago. Exactly. So you're saying you take the lessons that you learn and you move on.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I
learn
think that's
from
smart
them
advice.
And grow. Absolutely. Right. Yeah, yeah. Well, once again, it's that time.
Yes.
You have
amazing.
Listened with Dr. Deborah
and Coach Kelly.
And we are so excited that you tuned in. And next week, what do you want to talk about next week, Kelly? I was thinking about how do we deal with people who treat us like crap?
I love that. I cannot wait. I'm all about it. I mean, that'll be like part two of our relationships, because I think that's really important. It's obviously an unhealthy relationship, so I think we have a lot to say about that.
Absolutely. And, you know, we're ongoingly talking about relationships all the time, because
yes.
that's what we're here for, and that's what our lives are filled with relationships. Mm-hmm. So everybody's got one somewhere.
It's
so you
true.
Might as well.
Exactly.
All right. Have a wonderful day.
Take care. See you next time.
You're listening to the Dr. Deborah and Therapist Kelly Show, only on LA Talk Radio.